I always say this, but every time it's true, I always I have a struggle to pick the sermon. I never put my title in the bulletin that gives me the freedom to change my mind five times and not have to stick with anything. But it's always amazing that I come nervous and worried about the truth of the message because, you know, I don't care what you guys, I mean, think of me as far as the delivery. I know I'm not pastor, so I have, you know, that level of hierarchy. The buck doesn't stop with me, stops with pastor. But I want the truth to get across, and almost every time, especially and again tonight, God preaches the sermon better than I ever could before I stand up to preach. And the testimonies and the songs, those verses that we just read that I didn't tell anybody we were going to read, about not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust and our ignorance. I've come too far to go back to that ignorance, go too far to go back to that lust, and to gird up the loins of your mind, to be sober, to be focused and attentive, knowing what you used to be and saying, I don't want to go back to that again. I know what I have now, and I don't want to go back to that again. And to not only have that, but as was said in the testimonies, to be sure in your faith of a sound mind, to be sober in your mind, to be safe in your mind in Christ Jesus. But then to challenge yourself to say, it was good enough for me, I should share it with somebody else. I should be ready to teach it to somebody else. That word sober, to be sober, it's used 12 times in the Bible. Only one time is it right next to where it talks about drunkenness. Most time when we use that word today, we're talking about somebody that's not controlled by alcohol. But it does mean to be of a sound mind. And that verse that we read in 1 Peter 1 about girding up the loins of your mind and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Knowing what we believe and being of a sound mind and being ready to share it with others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. It talks about the reason that we serve God, the reason that we want to keep that sound mind and not lose our mind and not be empty or vain in our thinking is because we want to turn other people toward Christ, that we do it for their welfare, for their well-being. We do it to encourage others and to make them realize that the same Savior that we serve, they can have that same assurance, that same sound mind. The Bible uses it many times. I was going to look at a few of those passages tonight. It talks about it twice when it comes to bishops or pastors, and it even mentions the bishop's wife, that she should be sober. So there you go, Chantel. I told you I'd burn you tonight. So, but it says that we should be sober as leaders, that we should have a sound mind, that we shouldn't be, you know, crazy, flying off the handle, and we should be blameless, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. That we should, our actions should show forth a sound mind, one that's grounded on Christ, and one that has something firm to stand upon, a firm foundation, a solid rock, to be of a sound mind, to be in the right mind, safe and sound in self-control. Why should we today be sober? I'm going to tell you at the end why I'm thinking about thinking these thoughts, and it was a challenge to me to remind myself. So again, I'm preaching to myself tonight. You've already preached to me through testimonies and song, and I needed that. When we're a soldier in the army, we only give up that sobriety, or a soldier only gives up that sobriety when the battle is over and there's a celebration. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, he tried to call Uriah home. He was a good soldier. He wanted Uriah to act like the battle was won. He wanted Uriah to rejoice with his wife and be happy. And Uriah was a good soldier, and he said, the battle's not won. It's not over yet. I'm not willing to give that up yet. A soldier gives up being sober when he's injured beyond being able to function anymore. You think of a medic on the battlefield treating a wound. When he's no longer able to function, he gives up that sound mind. He loses the ability to function because of the injury. Or a soldier gives up when they have surrendered to the enemy. They give up that being sober when they've surrendered. And for us as Christians, none of those should be true. We should not say the battle's over, we can relax. We should not say our injuries are too great, we can't fight, we can't be a Christian soldier anymore. And we should not say, in that same way, we should not say that Christ is not, we're not able to follow the example of Christ as our leader. We're not surrendered to the enemy, the battle's not over, and no injury that we can have in this life can hurt us that bad where we can no longer serve and stay in that sound mind. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We haven't surrendered to our enemy, at least we shouldn't be. Brother Dan talked about it. The devil seems like the devil's winning, but he's not going to win, and we shouldn't act like he's winning when he's not. He's not going to win. Be of a sound mind. Be sane. Be in a right mind. I know it's hard to tell you to be sane when half the time I'm not there to be sane, even when you have little kids running around, and have a sound mind when it comes to the things of Christ. We should be sober. The reason we should be sober is because our battle is not done yet. Now, I know it's old-fashioned day, and Pastor keeps joking about my overalls. I was going to preach, it ain't over yet, and then every point was going to have the word ain't in it, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So, it's not over yet. The battle's not over yet, and we should be sober because we're not surrendered. We're not injured beyond being able to fight and work for God. And we're not celebrating the battle being over yet. We're not surrendered, we're not injured, and we're not celebrating a victorious battle yet. We're still in the midst of following after Christ. Our personal journey through life isn't over yet. We're not done yet, so stay sober. Number one. It's already been said tonight. But number one, because the devil has not given up yet. And one of the times it uses that word is in 1 Peter 5. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's a quote, C.S. Lewis said, there's no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. And whether or not we acknowledge the struggle between God and the devil, it still goes on. And we still give ground to Satan, or we give ground to God. We fight on God's side, or we fight on the devil's side. And the devil is not done seeking. That word, he's making plans. He's setting traps. He doesn't rest from his labor of trying to disrupt us and trying to keep sinners from accepting Christ, of trying to keep Christians from following Christ. He is not done seeking. And since the devil's not done, we shouldn't be done either. That's why we need to stay sober, because he is still plotting. He is still endeavoring to hurt us. He's still endeavoring to hurt the name of Christ. If he can't get us to hell because we've accepted Christ, then he'll try to ruin our testimony. He'll try to ruin the testimony of those that we care about. If he is still seeking, even though somewhere he's got to know he's not going to win this battle, then we shouldn't act like the defeated ones. We should still be saying, well, if the devil's still busy in his work, we should be busy in ours. We should be of a sound mind in the work that God has left us to do. The enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. And the devil says, I might not be able to pluck them back and take them to hell, but I'll make them useless. I'll make them worthless. And he's planning. He's plotting. He is an adversary. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We should be sober in our Christian walk, of a sound mind. Not an empty mind, not of a sane and sound and safe mind. Number two, we should be sober because we're not done yet, because prayer still works, and it produces more good than worry ever has. I fall into this trap myself. Sometimes I say I'm worried about such and such. I'm worried, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm worried. And all that means is I'm not praying because I'm worried. I'm not taking any action based on God's word because I'm worried. I'm taking all the time that God has given me, and I'm using it to worry, to care about something that I can't fix myself, and I shouldn't be trying to fix myself. I should be praying and asking God for his direction and for his help. The Bible says in 1 Peter, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and the last verse always kind of trips me up because it sounds different than the way, if you have to think about it. It says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise, talking about when we go to heaven, and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Talking about the time that we spend in prayer when we get to heaven will seem so short that we say farewell to 1 hour of prayer and we say hello to our Savior, to one that we will be with for eternity. And we won't be able to sing that until we get to heaven. We won't be able to sing farewell, sweet hour of prayer until we get to heaven. But we have the opportunity now to ask God for his help. We have the opportunity now to prove to God that we trust him without seeing him, that we love him without being physically in his presence like we will be in heaven. This is our opportunity now to show God that we trust him, to show him that we're of a sound mind when it comes to his salvation, when it comes to his grace, when it comes to his mercy, to be sober in our prayer lives. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once you see it, it's not faith anymore. I asked for a Christmas present when I was a little kid. I had faith that mom and dad were going to come through and get me whatever crazy thing I wanted, and I had faith. But once I saw it and knew it was mine, I didn't have to have the faith anymore because I had the gift. And prayer in our prayer lives right now is the time to demonstrate faith to God and say, you know what, I trust you right now. I don't have the result yet, but I'm going to pray and trust you for it. It's our chance not to get always what we want from God, but to show God that we trust him, that will allow God to work and move in our lives. I had a quote by Oswald Chambers that if God sees that my spiritual life will be furthered by giving the things for which I ask, then he will give them. If I ask God for something that I can use for a spiritual, godly purpose, and God sees it in his will, he'll give it to me. But that is not the end of prayer. The end of prayer is that I come to know God himself. I'm going to ask God for what I think I need, and then I want God to tell me what I need. I want God to show himself to me. And knowing God is more important than what God can give me. And that's how we trust God, through prayer. We talk to him. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. We should pray when we're in a praying mood, for it would be sinful to neglect so fair an opportunity. We should pray when we're not in a proper mood, for it would be dangerous to remain in so unhealthy a condition. Charles Spurgeon said that. Pastor says many times, if you feel convicted about something and you want to come to the altar and pray, you should, because you got convicted, you should pray and get it right. If you sit back there for a long time and you never feel convicted about any of it, you should come to the altar and pray and ask God why you're not convicted about what everybody else is getting convicted about. If the conviction's there, go to God and open your heart to him. If the callousness and the cares of life keep you from getting convicted, go to God and say, hey, I'm missed a connection here. I need to get something right. And use the opportunity either way to pray, to strengthen your faith, the faith that only exists now before we get to heaven. Pray about everything. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and quench not the Spirit. Pray fervently, pray passionately. In James it says, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. I've been around people, I would say, that did not follow this verse. It wasn't enough just to say yes or no. They had to be passionate about it. They used some choice words, and they wanted you to know how strongly they felt yes or how strongly they felt no, and they'd use other words, and they would exude this passion in their words. But in James it says, use that energy. Use the way that some people swear and the way that some people curse and the way that some people sin with passion, with fervency, because they want you to believe them. Use that passion and fervency in prayer. Don't waste it on words. Don't waste it on yes or no. Just say yes or no and use the passion in prayer. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That passion, he said, I'm not going to waste it on words. I'm not going to waste it on cursing. I'm not going to waste it on sin. I'm going to use the passion that God gave me to pray fervently. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're not done yet, so stay sober, because the devil still works. The devil's still seeking whom he may devour. We're not done yet, so stay sober, because prayer is still the best option that we have. Prayer gets us ready. Prayer tunes us into action. Prayer is the first step that gets us to wherever God wants to take us. We're not going to get there if we don't talk to him first and talk to him about it. Number 3, we're not done yet, so stay sober, because our hope is not yet in vain, and it won't ever be. Our hope is not in vain. The verses that we read, 1 Peter 1, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't give up yet. We're not done yet. Stay sober. Stay in your hope, in the hope of what God has prepared for us. God has not run out of grace yet. Thank God. I still need some right now. God hasn't run out of mercy yet. He's not on the end reserve. The tank's not on empty. I'm going to burn my wife again. She drives around with the gas tank on empty. God's not running out on empty. He's got what he needs. And he says, I have enough to give to you. And I've got more than you need. God hasn't run out of grace yet. God hasn't run out of mercy yet. And he's not driving around on low fuel. He's prepared to give us what we need. And hope until the end. Not when you decide the end is. Hope until Christ returns. Hope until the end. God's not out of grace. It may be that he wants to use you. He's decided to depend on each of us. Brother Dan gave a testimony about it. I don't know why God set it up this way. I don't know why God said I'm going to count on sinful, doubting men and women to give the gospel to everybody. But God decided to depend on us. He's God. He had to decide to trust in somebody else. But he decided to depend on us to give others the gospel, to go ye therefore and teach all nations. He decided to depend on us to get that done. And he's not running on empty. He has what we need to get that done. We are on the winning side, whether we act like it or not. But God has prepared for us what we need. In Titus, the other times in the Bible, it's used in the word sober is used in Titus chapter 2. And this is where Kelly stole my last point, talking about the aged people, the older people in the church. It says, speak the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And these verses were convicting to me for many reasons. I was reminded of this in the last couple weeks. We need to stay sober for these three reasons I gave to you. We were in a time of prayer, and one of the men of our church was praying, and he was praying publicly, praying aloud, and he said, God, don't let us older men, don't let us older men just hunker down and wait for the rapture. Just wait for it all to be over when there's some younger men that are looking to us for direction. There's some younger men and women that if the Lord tarries another 30, 40 years, they're going to be living in the situation that we're creating today. They're going to be living in what we leave behind. The older won't be here forever, but the older are responsible to teach the younger. And he said, don't let us just wait for Christ to return and throw away all that perspective, throw away all that training and all that aged wisdom that we talked about. Don't let us just put that aside and keep to ourselves. We need to be telling others. We need to be teaching others. Clyde and Frieda mentioned Mike about being a coach, being willing to have the knowledge and being willing to condescend, to come down on a level and teach somebody and coach them and teach them what they need to know. Be sober. A sober mind does that. A sober mind says, here's what I've learned about prayer. Here's what I've learned about spending time with God. Here's what God has shown me through trials. Here's what God has shown me through my mistakes and the times I didn't trust him and the times I worried instead of prayed and the times I was scared and didn't act. And we need aged people to teach the younger ones. Several things in the last few weeks have just reminded me the time that God has given us. It's not to keep to ourselves. It's not to isolate. It's to share with other people. Because it's not just other Christians that see the example that you leave, the pattern of good works. It's those that are contrary to us. We talked about Paul before he became Paul today. He was a persecutor. He was the opposite of somebody we want to invite to church. You don't invite Saul to church to persecute Christians, but he was the one that needed it. He was the one that turned and followed after God and became the reason we're here today. And it's not just for other Christians to see the example. It's for those that's for those outside of these walls. It's for those that are beyond this place that needs to hear that sound speech, that needs to hear a sober mind. Because the devil's not giving up, so we shouldn't give up. Because prayer still works, and that gets us ready to do what God has for us to do. Because our hope is not and will not be in vain. It's not over yet, so stay sober. We're going to have a word of prayer and an invitation. If something said before I got up here by the testimony or song has spoken to your heart, or something God used in the few minutes tonight has spoken to your heart, let's make a decision tonight to serve him more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the examples in my life. Thank you that that many people around me know they haven't arrived, but they're willing to teach. They're willing to tell others the experiences that they have had. They're willing to be sober and to stay sober, of a sound mind, safe in your knowledge, safe in your wisdom. They're willing to tell other people what they need to hear. Help us to do that, not only for Christians, but for those who might be contrary to us, that we'd have an answer, that they'd be ashamed because we can give an answer for our faith. Help us to strive to do that tonight. Bless our time of invitation. Bless all that goes on. Help it to be to your honor and glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.